Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11, verse 18 to verse 19. There's a little phrase in here. It says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus hanging around with a collection of sinners, a friend of tax collectors, but wisdom is justified by our children. This amazing thought that Jesus would come for us. But when he was there, when he was on the earth, I wrote this little statement down, how precious it is how our Lord brings people to himself. But the real question is, what has God done to bring people to himself? I think that's one of the best questions you can ask. And so I wrote down four statements that have to do with the Lord bringing people to himself. You can just, I may skim this a little bit. I've got more than I need here in terms of material, and so I may jump a little bit, but I'll lay out what I felt the Lord speaking to me about this great love and how difficult the Lord makes it for us to go to hell. There is great resistance by the Lord, and you'll see that when I come along. So first, Jesus has come as the friend of sinners. That's what they said. He said he's a friend of sinners. We say, wow. When Jesus was on earth, he moved among men as their friend before he became their Savior. He ate among them, hung out with them, went to weddings, went to gatherings, went to people's homes, all of these things before he became their Savior. He hadn't died for sins yet. He would, but it had not happened then. So this is still true today. He is still, in the first place, our friend, in order that he might become our Savior. Before we have reached the place where we are willing or indeed able to receive him as a Savior, he comes to us as friend. He comes as a friend, invites us to a relationship with him, holds the door open for us, and we receive him as Savior. This is a precious discovery. Once you see the Savior as the friend of sinners, we can help people coming to Christ a lot better. I can remember when this came as a revelation that it seemed that God was angry at people and didn't want to come and didn't want to save them, but in fact looked for opportunities that where he might reject us. But that's not true at all. This friend of sinners is the most wonderful thing. We meet people like this. They say, I want to believe, but I can't. I've heard that over the years. Say, you need to come to Jesus. Why don't I just pray with, oh, I can't come. And so we say, well, why don't you tell Jesus that? Why don't you tell him? He's the friend of sinners. He'll understand if you tell him. And I know one thing, this touches people, that Jesus loves you and cares for you and will do whatever it takes to bring you to himself. It touches people. All through the New Testament, we see that the Lord Jesus came as a friend in order to help sinners to come to him. Our coming to him was first made possible by his first coming to us. There's this wonderful process. He came down. He came down within our reach. He became shelf level, that the child can come. Little children can come to him, and older people can come, and anybody can come. It's within our reach. This is what salvation is all about. Only by his coming right down to us could our need be met there had he not come down. Sinners could not have approached him. But everybody can approach Jesus, friend of sinners. He came down in order to lift us up. At the hour of crisis, there was many witnesses for him, lost people who say, I don't have faith. I can't believe. I would like to believe, but I can't. It's impossible for me to believe. And down through the years, I've heard that over and over and over. People said, I can't come because I don't believe this, what you're saying. It's impossible for me to believe. So we say, folks, this is all right. This is quite all right. You can't believe, but you can ask the Lord to give you faith. The friend of sinners will listen to you, and he's prepared to help you. And so a person may say, I have no desire to repent. Mm-hmm. Right, we get that. But why don't you come and tell him that? I have no desire whatsoever to repent. I have to wait until I'm old. And once I'm old, then I can repent. When I have a good life running around and doing what I want, then at the end of my life, I'll simply come to the Lord, run to the Lord, and have him receive me. When we say, well, I don't know if that's how it should be, but it's just the opposite. We say, tell the Lord that you don't want to repent. Be honest. Tell the Lord what's in your heart. Simply tell him, because he will listen to you. Remember, he's the friend of sinners. What's in your heart? So this is a friend of unrepentant sinners, just like the rest of us, many times. Lord, I don't want to report. I don't want to repent and be saved, but I do need a Savior. I cry out to help. See, if you meet someone who's strung out in drugs, or you meet somebody who's got problems in their life, and they say, I'm a mess, I can't come. I can't come to Christ. I can't come to his grace. And we say, oh, you can come. He'll receive you. Well, how do you know? Because he's the friend of sinners. That's what he does. He's the friend of sinners. The Lord will work repentance in you. He will. He'll work repentance in you, and he will save you. Charlotte Elliott wrote a hymn, and some might remember that name. Just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come to thee. We can tell everybody on the North Shore to come as they are by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can come just as they are. What the sinner cannot do, what the lost person cannot do, what the Savior is, but the Savior is on hand to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We can come now. You don't have to wait for anything, but to come to the friend of sinners immediately. Just come. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you smell like or what you look like or how you've disappointed everybody. You can just come. Immediately, you can come to him. There's no waiting time. Let's see if this lasts. Let's see if it's going to hold for you. We just say, come. Why? Because he's a friend. He's on our side. It's the Savior who's on our side. And how wonderful. You don't have to wait for anything but to come to him. Whatever your condition, whatever your problem, bring it and tell it to the friend of sinners. So what do we know? Jesus is a friend of sinners. That we can go to the bank with, as they say. And I can remember, even when I accepted the Lord, I'll come to that in a moment here, but I didn't realize that I thought there was more to it than there was, but it was simply, I just said, Jesus, please come to my heart. So what can we say for the second point? Second point is that Jesus is the living God, ready to act in mercy. Here he is, firsthand contact. And John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You don't have to understand. I didn't understand. When I came to know the Lord, I didn't know actually anything, really. You don't have to understand the whole plan of salvation. What do you have to? You just have to know that Jesus is the friend of sinners. You can get saved on that alone. The first condition of salvation is not knowledge, but meeting Christ. Many people get saved by the wrong scriptures. In my mind, it seemed like the wrong scriptures. But you only need a personal touch with the Lord. Examples, Luke chapter 23, verse 42. Lord, remember me. Remember that, the thief on the cross? Remember me. But he didn't get reminded of his sinful life. Wouldn't you think he would have? The Lord, remember me. But he didn't remind him. He didn't announce the plan of salvation. Say, while you're hanging on the tree there, let me just tell you what the plan of salvation is. You probably don't know what the plan of salvation is, but I'm going to tell you if you didn't have any of that. He simply said, today you will be with me in paradise. How in the world? How does that work out? But that's all he said to him. For the thief, I think the reason for it was because the thief recognized who Jesus was. He recognized him. He believed in the Lord, and that was enough. Do you believe? And then he said, yes, I remember me when you come into your kingdom. And no ribbing, no pressuring, just come. Just come. You can come right now. For whatever you've done, he said, and he came and he believed. A powerful, wonderful, wonderful story. Believed in the Lord, and that was enough. And then I think of Mark chapter 5, verse 24, about the woman with the issue of blood. And she said, if I could just touch him, I know that all would be well. And why would that be well, I wonder? Because she believed that Jesus would listen to her and would she receive what she wanted from him. It required only a touch. But in her, it represented a reaching out. It represented a spirit of God to help her in her deepest needs to come. If I just have to touch him, and I know it all will be well. And when we say about give an altar call, anybody would like to come for prayer to receive Jesus? If you would, you can just come. There's no fanfare here. We say, well, why don't we wait and see if it works? And see if it takes hold. Maybe they're not sincere enough. You don't see that in the Bible. Just to believe and to come and receive the Lord. The publicans and the Pharisees, their prayer in the temple, and they knew about sacrifices and tithes and everything, but the wonder was no response, no warm response. There was no cry of the heart. But the other man, he says, he didn't defend himself. He just said, Lord, have mercy on me. Just, will you have mercy on a guy that's messed up? And something went out from him. Something just came. And it met an immediate response. He touched God. And some level, he touched God. Think of Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost, the sermon of Peter. Of all the things he could have included, he didn't include very much in that sermon. You read it. Just take a look at it. Read it. The day of Pentecost. And he simply told the need. Why didn't he mention Isaiah 53? What a powerful verse that would have been. Explain the doctrine of the atonement. Why didn't he do that? So salvation is not initially a question of knowledge, but is a matter of touch. That if you touch the Lord, you can be saved. But of touch. But all who touch the Lord receive life. Forever trying to make people, I've seen this my whole life, we're forever trying to make people receive the Lord, to see the plan of salvation. If they could only, I'll explain the plan, so they understand the plan. Do you know the plan? Do you know the plan? There's a plan here. Do you know the plan of salvation? We're making sure they know the plan of salvation. But in the scriptures, you don't really see that much. You just say, come, you become part of this. I guess the fear of sin we try to put in there and its consequences. But often people we're sharing with, the thing is they don't see him. And so we try to get them, you know, on a level ground, I guess, that they will see him. But they only see sin and salvation, whereas their need is for them to see the Lord himself and to meet him and to touch him. And I wrote here, oh, to be in living touch with Jesus. That's what they don't need a plan of salvation. They need a Savior, simply a Savior who they can go to. It is the living Lord who becomes our Savior. How powerful and wonderful. Becomes our Savior. Jesus is no longer the crucified one, but the reigning one. We can now come to the throne. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, personally risen and ascended. And we see his glory. We know who he is. We seek him to, and he brings people, lost people, to Jesus. So we can come into immediate contact with him. You don't have to edge him in so he finally is acceptable. He just comes as he is, and we come as we are, and we're received. The Holy Spirit, this is my other point, the Holy Spirit has come, Acts chapter 2. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Shall be saved. How is this possible? Because the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all, he poured his Spirit upon all flesh, is now upon people. That's all that's required. The Spirit has come and been poured out upon us. And a cry is simply enough. It's enough. You just cry out. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be, shall be, absolutely guarantee you will be saved. Because the provision has been poured out. This is crucial in our witnessing. Do I believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do I believe that he has come close to sinners? God is in the heavens for me always, and he's out of reach. He's out of reach. But Romans chapter 10, verse 6, verse 8, verse 13, say not in your heart, now listen to this carefully, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is means to bring Christ down. The word is nigh thee, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We don't have to bring Christ down. We don't have to bring Christ up. He comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. Always believe that the Holy Spirit is upon the person that you're sharing Christ with. Even as you know, you're talking or sharing back and forth, just to be praying softly that the Lord would open their heart. And when we're sharing the Lord with others, he's not in there inside of them just yet, but he's on the close to them. And what is he doing? He's waiting. He's waiting to bring Christ into the hearts of people. That's what the work of the ministry of the Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is wanting to enter the hearts of the hearer of the gospel. It's like opening a window. Let there be a cry from their hearts to God. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit will come and enter in transformed work in their life. And immediately, this will happen immediately. The Holy Spirit is near to that person, and we have that confidence that God wants to save everybody. That's my take on it. When I'm sitting in a coffee shop, which I was just the other day, I went by myself, and I was just sitting there reading a newspaper, but a conversation comes up, but I was praying, saying, Lord, I know the Spirit has been outpoured even on this individual. And they want to come even today. Well, the meeting didn't last long enough. But it was simply, you can tell it all to Jesus. God understands. He understands sinners. And he accepts us as such that we're sinners. That's a powerful thing. You can tell it all. The Holy Spirit is at hand to work. You can count on him to do in us what needs to be done. What I could never do, what you could never do, the Lord will do. And then lastly, there's the importance of an open heart before God, open before God. And the honesty, the one thing that is necessary, that is required, just one thing. There's only one condition necessary to being saved and accepted as a sinner and being honest enough, and here it is, to be honest enough to tell God. Just to come to God and tell him. Tell him about your condition. Tell him what you did. Tell him what trouble you got into. And the Holy Spirit will work immediately. We have this great opportunity to talk to people, and here it is right in front of us, and the only thing is just to be honest. Stop all of the substituting things you're doing and the lies in your life. And is that me? I got a sweater on. Is that what it is? I think so. All right. So there's one thing that God does demand, that you have an honest and a good heart. If you have an honest and a good heart. And there's so many scriptures about that, but a sinner's heart can touch God. Nobody ever got turned away because they had too much sin. You can come with it. It doesn't matter how much sin is in your life. Jesus died for all of it. He took your place. He took my place. And if we have an honest and a good heart, he will come in and we can receive him as our Lord and Savior. How powerful is that, that we touch God by our need. In Luke chapter 8, whatever is in your heart, you can prepare to come to him and say honestly to him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior, but I don't really want to come. I'm having too good a time in my party life. Yeah, tell him that. Honesty of heart before God. He requires nothing of you but you come in that attitude. You must come in an attitude where you can do nothing for yourself and the Lord must do everything. And we come to him. And that's why the thief on the cross, honest desire, and that's all it took. The Lord is and it comes within us and works is done in our lives. If there is a sincere cry from the heart, God hears. If there's a sincere, my father I never saw him get saved. I wish I would. If I have one regret in the whole world, it's that I would like to have seen my dad come to know the Lord. I didn't see it. I don't know whether he did or not. But it didn't seem like he did anyway. And I got thinking not so long, just a few years ago, that even, I believe God's love is so strong that even as he was twirling through space into eternity, into his eternity, whatever that was, that as he's flinging through there, even then if he would said, save me, I believe he would have come like that. One cry, on his way, you know, just please. And I believe God will descend, touch that life, and how wonderful. So it'd be a powerful surprise for me. If I get to heaven and my dad's there, I'll tell you, won't be the only person rejoicing. I'll never stop dancing because I prayed for years and years for him and never saw the fruit that we wanted to see. But we prayed, and again, you never know. See, I never wipe anybody off because you don't know. Say, well, they went to hell. No, unless you've gone, you don't know that. I don't know who's come or gone or going. All I know, we have a Savior who loves people. He really loves them and doesn't want them to perish, that none would perish. Is that not the best news ever? Wow. It's a sincere cry from the heart. God hears. It's a sinner's heart towards God. Any sinner can touch God. And all you have to do is tell him that. If you want God, there's no difficulty. He waits. And he knocks, waiting for us to open our hearts. And he comes in. If you want God, there's no difficulty here. There's no difficulty. This is the easiest thing in the world. If you want God, there is all that's needed. It's an honest heart. Just be honest. Just be honest that there's a lot of hypocrisy in your life. Be honest that there's things in your heart that you wish weren't there. Just be honest. Say, Lord, I've messed up. I've blew it. Mm-hmm. Come. Just come. Because there he waits, this friend of sinners. All you need is an honest heart. And even if you do not want him, I think a couple times in my ministry, I think I've prayed with someone who didn't want the Lord. I know they came down to the front, and I said, why don't you receive it? Well, I don't know if I'm ready. I think you're ready. And then led them to the Lord with their heels dug in. But I think, I do actually think something was happening in there. So even if you don't want him, he will still hear you if you come to him and be honest about the whole matter. The only thing is, mostly with Christians, we and would be Christians, people on their way, we're not. There's a lot of hypocrisy. There just is. I don't know why there is. There's a dishonesty. There's a fakiness about it, and the Lord doesn't hear that, but he hears that cry. Like he hears the cry, and even if you're here today, you know. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. There's nothing elaborate about it. Friend of sinners. Oh, how was that?
Yeah, we'll get her.
Just part of the morning. So if a person wants to come, is it on? Yeah, okay. So, there we are, there it is. You call out to him, just call. I was thinking how I got saved. I don't think I had the right doctrine. I didn't know about the atonement. I didn't know about the second coming. I didn't know about Jesus waiting. I didn't know anything. But when this man said, would you like to receive, would you like to receive Jesus? Bang! My sister and I both, I was just talking to her yesterday, and we running to the Lord. Two kids, unsaved home. And we cried on the Lord, called on his name, were sincere. We were just sincere. There was no fakiness when you're 14. Right? We just say, God, please. And then immediately we're praying for my unsaved father and unsaved mother. We were praying for them. I mean, you know, it's natural in a way. But we knew that we were saved and we knew that they weren't. And so they were part of our prayer team as we would pray for our parents that they would come to know the Savior. And, you know, my mother, she was so funny. She's about 5'0", and Anglican. And I would be witnessing to her and said, Mom, you need to become a Christian. You need to become a Christian. And she said, my dear boy, British, my dear boy, she said, I don't need to become a Christian. I'm an Anglican. As if that was better, right? As if that was better. But I remember when she got cancer, I remember praying with her to receive the Lord as she's almost on her deathbed. And as I, again, heeded her, I said, Mom, you can come to the Lord. You can get the right stuff you need. Jesus is here. And if you'd like to receive him, you can come into, he'll come into your heart right now. You don't have to go to church. This is not about the full gospel church. This is not about the Anglican church. This is about you need the Lord. And he's waiting for you. I don't know if I can do that. I said, well, tell the Lord. Tell him you can't do that. Tell him that he's reluctant. Say, thank you, Lord, that you're reluctant to come into my life, but I need you. Regardless, I need you in my life. And so, when you put it together, that God awaits for us. I mean, this is the accusation. He was the friend of sinners. Well, I don't know about you, but I would like to be the friend of sinners too. I would like to, in my own heart and life, whatever amount of life I have, I would like to be thinking that when I meet people, he's a friend of sinners. He's not against them. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't ridicule them. He doesn't talk against them. But simply a friend. So that if the hour of crisis comes, that, you know, that hour that does come, that hour of crisis is that people would call on you. They'd call on Marcel. They'd call on you. And they'd call on you. Because they know that you have a heart for them. And you see there's somebody. I think that there'd be no greater ministry you could ever have than drawing close to somebody. And you say, you're not hanging around with so-and-so. Yeah. You know, they're not good people. Let the Lord decide that, right? Let the Lord decide that. But we're the friend that we have an opportunity to be like Jesus, just like Jesus. And that's why even as we pray for people, I find myself praying that there'll be something will be open on their heart that just maybe for that one moment they would reach out like that woman at the well, like the thief on the cross. He just says, remember me, Jesus, please. I don't know why he didn't make it stricter, make it more difficult. Well, let's go over the material again. The material is a person. The material is Jesus. And you can come to him. He's waiting for it. Matter of fact, he's coming towards you. And he's going to hunt you down, isn't he? He hunts you down until he captures you and he draws you to himself, and that's what he does. That's what he does best. And I can picture a whole church of people who really have this heart thing for the Savior. And you come to the Lord in that openness, that desire, get rid of all fakiness, just announce to the Lord, say, Lord, there's been a lot of stupidity in my life. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. See, most of us say, well, I haven't done that much bad. Well, maybe when you stop thinking like that, the Lord might even come near you. But we don't have to do anything but to receive him. As I was going over these verses, I thought, God makes it difficult to go to hell. There will be people in hell, but it won't be because of our Lord Jesus. He'll climb over you. He'll do whatever he needs to do. He'll come to you. If you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid. I don't know. Just call out. Because the promise is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we trust that God has this great heart thing. And you can tell the Lord how it is within you. But there must be an honesty. There must be a confession that I don't have it all together, Lord. I just come to you. And I think that even here on a Sunday morning, the Lord is, maybe for some, the Lord has been talking to you for a long time. You just maybe haven't stepped over that line. You know, there's a line, isn't there kind of like a line? You step over that. And so we step back a little bit. But it might be that maybe if you've never accepted the Lord, or you're planning on it, but just haven't got there to it, I think this morning would be a great moment. It'd be a great moment as you just receive the Lord. And I know there's people that have been in church for years and years and years and years and years and just haven't quite gonna do that, but haven't done it yet. And Jesus, the friend of sinners, is waiting for you to come. And matter of fact, why don't we stand together? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. It could well be that everybody in the whole building here is a born-again Christian. That'd be great. Nothing wrong with that. But my fear is that you haven't taken that step. You like the church services, and you like the songs, but you haven't taken the step. And I thought, as I lead us in a prayer, why don't you just take a step? This could be your morning. Wouldn't that be something? A couple of people get baptized over here, and somebody over here receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they were going to do it, but they hadn't done it. And again, it's so simple. You can just come. Don't delay. That's the one that you must not delay. You can't. It's like the ark. By the way, the ark is open. The door is open. But that door, that time is running out. It's now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. You can't wait down the road. Well, I'll go down the road. Today, there's an urgency in this. But it's open. And then the door will close. And then you won't be able to come. You won't be able to come. You can't come in your own time. You come because you hear him calling you. So there's an immediacy to it. And so as I lead us in a prayer, if you just want to make that your prayer, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. So let's do that. Just, you can pray from your head or you can pray from your heart. It doesn't matter. God will know. And know this. He loves you. It's not his will that anybody would perish. So, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being a wonderful Savior, an incredible Savior. And Lord, thank you for your patience. And thank you, we only have to call on you. So we do that together. We say, Lord, remember us. Please, Lord. Add my name to the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for forgiving me for all the sins I've ever done, past, present, or future. I receive you, Lord Jesus. I invite you to come into my life. I confess the hypocrisy and the sin and all the things that hinder in my life. And I receive you, Lord Jesus. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to live for you and serve you. And I don't know how I'm going to do it, but Lord, if you help me, I'll live for you for the rest of my life. I thank you, Lord, for your hand above. I thank you for the touch. And I ask you to touch my heart as I receive you into my heart. I praise you and bless you. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen and amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. If you happened to pray that today, if you did, if not, we're not too worried about it. But if you did, come and pull my sleeve, or Marcel's, or somebody's, just that we know that you've had made a, there's some step that you've done, and we're not going to condemn or anything. This is just pure joy to be able to pray with someone to accept the Lord. So let us know. The coffee pot is on. It's open. It's ready. And we thank you for being here. It's you might want to hang out. Is the water baptism service going to be the first part? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, yeah, you can go and come back for the water baptism. There we are. God bless you. Thank you.